I'd like to read from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 21 as our text for this morning, as a little thought at the end of the year into the next. It's on the screen. I'm sure it's familiar, but it's not forgotten just yet. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven. And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to them, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. What a fantastic part of the gospel. There was one moment, many, that in some senses kind of really affected a lot of us. Sorry if there are other things that kind of really struck you. But in the course of the year, this happened. We need to go to the end. Sorry, that's the last slide. There we go. Oh. All the way back, please, Chris. Keep going back. There we go. Hadrian's Wall, Sycamore Gap. Wonderful Kate Barry. It's not her photograph, but she was there, and she posted when the tree was cut down, what a privilege it was to see that iconic moment, that iconic kind of beautiful scene. It's Hadrian's Wall, sort of in Northumberland on the way over to kind of Cumbria. I don't know if you've seen Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. It's set there. That's a bit of an old film, Kevin Costner. You can have a look back at it. Beautiful. And then we kind of woke up one day to that news. That's not me. It does look like me in a mask, but it's not, I can assure you. That the sycamore was cut down, and it kind of affected people quite a lot. I mean, there's all sorts of things that have been going on in our world and our lives that are more profound and more serious and kind of deeply significant. I know that. But sometimes some things seem to capture something that crystallizes disappointment of futility, of like, why would someone do that? Why? And it seems to encapsulate so much of like the messed up situation of the world, the profound shock that it seemed to signify. And kind of anger along the way, and people being sort of, you know, of course there were some quite serious threats about people who were thought to have cut that down. It's still ongoing. We don't really know who or why. From the beauty of the sycamore to the stump. In this reading, we're told that Bethlehem is a significant place, a key part, not only of the life of Jesus, but indeed in the whole narrative and story of Scripture. Isaiah 11:1, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. It was part of the messianic hope, part of the long-standing story and the work of God in people's life, in choosing the people of Israel, of Abraham and his descendants. And often the focus being in Bethlehem. The King David came from Bethlehem. It was his city. We heard it in the reading that we have just read. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee, that was north, to Bethlehem, further in the south, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. For us, the shock of a sycamore cutting down, but for the Israelites, for the people of God at the time, such a long time, over 400 years, where the branch, the tree of God's leaders, the kings, had been cut, felled, decimated, lost. And yet, God, in his wonderful truth, always was revealing and prophetically pointing, announcing, heralding, kind of giving glimpses and hopes and like a taster on before a great meal that something better will come. From the stump, a branch will come. And so in those familiar songs we have sung and in the story of Luke chapter 2 that we have read, from the stump, a shoot will grow, a branch will spring up in this line and bear fruit. And this birth in Bethlehem is the fulfillment of this hope. Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem. It was the place of their family line, but it's a rich place, a significant place. That it was way back in the story when we were been looking at Ruth, just after the time of Judges, Samuel, the last judge, the great prophet, who recognized in Bethlehem as he was listening to the Holy Spirit. Samuel went and recognized the seventh child, the shepherd out in the field, the littlest and smallest with a bright, ruddy face, recognized David was God's anointed one, the chosen king, in Bethlehem, 1 Samuel 16. And in that, in this promise of God, a new covenant called the Davidic covenant, where God would say, this king, this David, will be my son, and I will let his throne and his reign be forever and eternal. And yet, it seemed that this tree, the family tree, had been cut and lost. Stump. And yet the prophets, those clarions, those symbols of hope in the most profound darkness, were the ones who kept that hope, that faith, that light burning, the expectations, the hopes and fears of all the years, as the carol says, are met in Jesus. That the birth of Jesus affects so much. The hopes and fears of all the years, socially, politically, communally, in the national worship life of who they were and their place in the world, of individual families and relationships and of business dealings and of how to conduct and live life and their geopolitical place. It was all bound up in the coming of the longed hope for Messiah. Bethlehem means the house of bread. Can you just click on one, Chris? I had the joy of being with Femi and Maria and others earlier in the year, in early April, and one of our first places to visit was Bethlehem. And having just kind of seen some of the places in Bethlehem, I loved this sign. It just was quite entertaining. Of Bethlehem to the right and the old city to the left. And it was really clear that in the time of Jesus, there was still the old city. Even 2,000 years ago, the city was over 1,000 years prior to that. What a rich history. Bethlehem means, its Hebrew meaning is the house of bread, the provision of food that Jesus himself picked up. That statement about himself in John 6, I am the bread of life. Bethlehem is about 2,500 feet above sea level, 5 miles approximately southwest of Jerusalem, surrounded by beautiful fields and some hills. It's mild generally. It gets good rain. It has fertile fields and orchards and vineyards. And the fields grow wheat and barley and are places of agriculture. And this place has a long history of being a place that God has been at work. As we heard in the autumn, as we went through our series in Ruth, those same fields that the shepherds were in with their flocks were the fields of Boaz and Ruth, gleaning fields around Bethlehem. That Boaz was King David's grandfather. And that Boaz was experienced in that wonderful story, 4 chapters in the Old Testament, that Boaz became this guardian redeemer, this kinsman redeemer who lived and exhibited kindness and made a place of family, of welcomed in the outsider and the desperate and the marginalized Ruth, and said, you will now be my kin and my family, rescued. The outsider becomes someone who belongs. Of provision, of place, a sign of future, of hope. And Mary pondered these things and knew the Old Testament stories and of King David and the Davidic king and the oppression and the challenge and the many, many long years. And she knew the Old Testament, the Word of God, that again, wonderful Christmas reading, Micah 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. That stump will burst forth. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And the bells will ring. Out on the fields that night, those same fields of Boaz and Ruth, where David would have shepherded, there were other shepherds. I love how God weaves his story, the richness, the reminder in this messianic utterance, this promise of years before, hundreds of years before, of detail, of precision, that this birth of Jesus in Bethlehem is no accident fulfillment. God's coming into human history, intricately planned, expected because it was announced, and it came to pass. Jesus, the one who would save us, is born. That is hope. The promises of God in all their richness and detail can be trusted. At the end of 2023 and all that has been part of our landscape, and as we look forward to 2024, be reminded of this central truth: the Messiah, the Savior, has come. That God works out his purposes. All his promises are yes. That nothing confounds him. Nothing kind of throws a curve ball at him and he kind of goes, oh, I didn't expect that. That he is able to work all things together for good. Because the Savior has come and God has demonstrated how wonderfully he has done that. Punctuated our living, our history, our human story with his birth amongst us. Hope, certainty, dependability on the faithfulness of God. What does 2024 look like? How has 2023 been? I pray you renew your trust in him. Jesus is the subject of our hope. The root of Jesse, the desire of nations, the firstborn of Mary in the first century Bethlehem. Luke records the story of Mary. Joseph at some point dies. We're told on the eighth day after Jesus' birth, he was taken to the he was circumcised and named as the angel had declared Jesus. There's a little glimmer here, but a profound truth that all the customs, all the rituals of the Jewish people, the law, the covenants, were fulfilled in him. On the eighth day, he was circumcised. What an act of vulnerability. On the eighth day, according to the law, and the covenant established with Abraham, who himself was called when he was 99 years old and told as an old man without offspring or children that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the heavens and the sand on the shore, that all the families on earth, that's us too, all families on the earth would be blessed, that this circumcision process was part of that covenant. That we see, even in the very first days in the life of Jesus, the Messiah of the Jewish people, that Jesus was the fulfillment of the law, that the covenant gets completed, all requirements kept, and that in this shedding of blood on the eighth day of his life points forwards in anticipation to his last words on the cross that says, "It is finished," the Mosaic law fulfilled and perfected. In Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. On my visit to Bethlehem, visited the Church of the Nativity. No one was able to celebrate Christmas there this year. But as we stepped out, I looked up and there is Mary, the statue, and this was in April, just a week before Easter. And there were the Christmas trees, the fake ones, with lights. And I kind of found myself chuckling, going, oh gosh, have they not taken the decorations down yet? But I kind of thought, well, it's always Christmas in Bethlehem. It's what it's about. The Church of the Nativity. And I chuckled to myself and I thought about those strange people. I don't know if there's any amongst us, sorry if I'm sound I'm judgmental, who never take your Christmas decorations down. There are some people like that, aren't there? They start the clock ticking now. When can I put them back up? And they start posting on Facebook in July saying, it's coming, it's coming. All those places like in Stratford, there used to be one in Camden. The Christmas shops, 365 days a year. You can go in and buy your next set of Christmas ornaments. Do you know, I never go into those shops. Some people are smiling, saying, humbug. I'm not trying to out you. And yet, as I reflected on this message this week and the Christmas story again, There's something really important in the message and the centrality of Christmas that we should not pack up and store away and wait out the days until Advent 24. See, there's a tendency that we do take down the lights and take down the cards and hoover up the needles from the carpet. There's a sense in which there's a deep sigh, oh, Christmas, it was lovely. Now we move on. The diet, the dry January. That even today we've not sung a carol in our service. I did warn Alan I would make this line. Because we've moved on from Christmas, and yet in the coming of Jesus is always hope. A saviour has been born in the city of David. He doesn't stay a baby, clearly. But in this coming, in this incarnation, in this visitation, in the Messiah being born amongst us, in the vulnerability, in the mess of that circumstance, we've just not really celebrated, but the festival of the innocence, of that reminder that Herod killed hundreds of boys trying to stamp out Jesus, the gospel, the hope of the nations. Power, dictatorship, violence doesn't prevail. God is at work. Christmas isn't just about glitter and sugar and a make-believe. It's the earthy, the reality, the hope in the midst of the mess. For in the town of David, a Savior has been born, Jesus. As we finish this year, and I have finished my message, I want us to read together. I can read it, we can read it together, whichever you feel most free. But I was drawn back to Isaiah chapter 11 and 12. And it's a messianic utterance. It's a voice into the darkness from the prophet Isaiah in around about 700 BC, well before Jesus. But we have already spoken and read these amazing verses over Christmas. But we stop, for natural reasons, at certain points. But I want us to remember and recall and refound our hope in Jesus, but also in the fulfillment that hasn't finished of what he will do and his purposes and his trajectory and his life amongst us, of what he calls us to individually and as a people. This is his plan. This is his strategy. This is the direction of the kingdom of God that we are called to be part of. And it is hope. And so I'd like us to read it together as an eye-opening moment, but also as a manifesto for stepping on and into 2024. And may the Lord inspire us. It'll be on the screen. Isaiah 11 and 12. Two chapters, they're not particularly long, but we'll read them together and allow the word to speak to us. Hopefulness in the face of glum news. A shoot, please join me if you'd like to read or just hear them. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand in the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the surviving remnant from the people of Assyria, from Lower Egypt, from Upper Egypt, from Cush, from Elam, from Babylonia, from Hamath, and from the islands of the Mediterranean. He will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exiles of Israel. He will assemble the scattered people of Judah from the four quarters of the earth. Ephraim's jealousy will vanish, and Judah's enemies will be destroyed. Ephraim will not be jealous of Judah, nor Judah hostile towards Ephraim. They will swoop down on the slopes of Philistia to the west. They will plunder the people of the east. They will subdue Edom and Moab, and the Ammonites will be subjected to them. The Lord will dry up the gulf of the Egyptian sea with a scorching wind. He will sweep his hand over the river Euphrates. He will break it up into seven streams so that anyone can cross over in sandals. There will be a highway for the remnant of his people that is left from Assyria, as there was for Israel when they came up from Egypt. In that day you will say, I will praise you, Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself, is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. What a wonderful prophetic envisaging that declares not only the coming of Jesus, the stump from the stump of Jesse, but the ongoing purposes and plans of the Father through the Son in the power of the Spirit, God who is amongst us, that all nations should come. Here we are, Lord, send us. For all the violence and enmity and fracturing of this created world to be renewed in new heavens and new earth in your returning. That beautiful, amazing picture of bears and lions and cows and oxen and vipers and children. And yet your shalom, your peace, of what you will do. We long for those days. We long for that return of Jesus Christ. And yet we are standing in hope and certainty, for to us a child has been born, the Messiah in the town of David. His name is Jesus, the Savior. Today is the day of salvation. Even now at the cusp of this 2023-24, to renew and put our trust afresh in Jesus Christ, the rescuer, the redeemer. And to follow him and serve him. To listen to him, for his words are truth and life, and bring fulfillment and fullness in every way. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us. Renew hope where things have been dashed or buried or seem to have been overwritten or erased. Restore hope, rightly so at Christmas, rightly so on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And whatever that day is called in January, something like Glum Monday. Come, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, we are here. We love Jesus and we attend to him and his word and his purposes. May your kingdom unfold. Healing, deliverance, revelation, choices for Jesus from the big to the little. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.